This is a Cincy Fan Talking with LP. You can catch me on Twitter. That's a Cincy Fan Talking. You say it like it sounds, just leave off the G. If you have ideas for the show, you can reach me at Cincy_FanTalk@yahoo.com. If you have any suggestions for the show, make sure you leave them there. Who knows, you might find yourself as part of the show. Any feedback would be definitely appreciated. And also, make sure you hit the Linktree page that's on my Twitter. Make sure you click on that. You can find all the different ways to contact me there. Enjoy the show. What's up, y'all? What's going on? Welcome to another episode of A Cincy Fan Talking with LP. And once again, this is yours truly, LP. What's going on, my good people? Hope everybody doing well and taking care of themselves on this awesome, awesome Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, whatever day you hear this. Hope you chilling. Hope you staying safe. Hope all is well. We're going to go ahead and jump into, I won't say a lot of topics, but we're going to jump into some stuff that's on my head. And I guess we're going to go ahead and start with the Bengals game. I mean, why not? It's going to be the last one that we're talking about for, I don't know, more than a few months. And I'm going to give y'all a few different perspectives. My perspective, the cul-de-sac's perspective around here. We gonna get into all of that. People been hitting me up like, LP, I know you salty, like, you know, stuff like that. Not really giving me the business because I don't really come at people like that. Twitter is a wild place. You see people just talking about people's mamas on there, posting people's profile pics and just talking reckless about them because they hate their team. That's not really my thing. It's never been my thing. You know, I'm going to talk my cash. I am. But I do realize it's just a game, win or lose. I get that. I was a little salty. And you got to understand why I was a little salty, all right? Talking to my cousin, smart dude. Like, he a 49ers fan. He always has been. Living in the city of Cincinnati, and he a Niners fan. Wildest thing ever. But it's been his team ever since we was kids. You know, we played Super Tecmo Bowl. You know, not Tecmo Bowl, but Super Tecmo Bowl. The one that had all of the teams back in 93. He would always pick the Niners. Nonstop. So that's been his squad since forever. He was salty that the Niners lost. So he was like, you know, my second team, the Bengals, I want them to take the dub. He was salty for us, and he's like, nah, LP, man, y'all got played. He's saying y'all that came from the Natty. This man, wow. Like, y'all got played on that last one. How dude supposed to stop? And then he hit Mahomes like that at the end of the game. Like, you know, that ain't on him. Y'all got played with all those penalties, man. But, you know, I'm like, facts. 100% facts. The game was so lopsided at the end of the game, like fourth quarter wise, penalty just wasn't going our way. It's the weirdest thing. You know, people saying the game rigged, yada, yada, yada. Here's my take on it. And my man, you know, my Houday neighbor fella next door, he agreed with me 100% when I said this. The refs had a horrible game. Didn't do us as Bengals any favors whatsoever. However, Burrow and the boys had two chances to take this game at the end of it. Now, when Burrow gets the ball in the fourth quarter with little time on the clock, I just charge it as a W, flat out. I charge it as a W. I really do. The fact that we didn't win that game, it wasn't the ref thing that surprised me. It was the fact that we couldn't get it done in the fourth quarter. Man, I was talking to Chiefs fans, and, you know, we honest with each other. You know, we love our teams. We're going to be like, my team going to beat yours. But, you know, we call a spade. If something happened, we're going to let it happen. We're going to say it no matter what team we're rooting for. They was telling me, like, LP, when y'all got the ball the second time with, like, 2 minutes left, we thought the game was over. We was like, dang, 23-20 again. We about to lose by three for the fourth time. Everybody really thought this. Man, I'm like, it's a foregone conclusion that it's a wrap for y'all boys. Like, I'm already talking cash to the Bengals, to the Chiefs fans. I'm like, it's over. Especially when Hayden Hurst caught that third down pass, like third and 16. We as Bengals fans got to understand that we lost this game because of two reasons. Number one, when you get a chance to knock Mahomes out, you knock him out. I don't mean knock him out of the game because he injured, like slow down. I mean, when you get a chance to beat Mahomes and not give him the ball back, you do that. You look at the games where the Bengals beat the Chiefs. Look at the three games before. What they did was they limited possessions for the Chiefs in the fourth quarter. That's how you beat the Chiefs. I mean, it's not a secret blueprint. What you do is you get that ball in the fourth quarter, you milk that clock, and you score. Your defense holds tight, you get that ball back, you milk that clock, and you score. The Bengals consistently did that the three times they beat the Chiefs. This game, they kept giving Mahomes opportunities. And if you give an elite quarterback too many opportunities, you're going to lose the game. That's just facts. They gave Burrow too many chances. The Chiefs got lucky. They won. They get the talk. They get the talk. They cash money records. They get to. Like, the winner gets to choose how they celebrate. As the team that lost, we can't be like, oh, well, you're doing too much. They get to do too much. They won. But if you a Chiefs fan out there and you listening to this, y'all know good and damn well, y'all got a little bit lucky. Now, I'm not a hater. I'm really not. So I understand that in order to be lucky, you got to put yourself in that position. I mean, my man Joseph Osai makes that penalty, and the Chiefs are at the 25-yard line of in their territory. Then they only get to 15, and they're at the 40. So they made plays to put themselves in a position to get lucky. That's the thing about luck. I know a lot of lucky people. However, they're not in positions to capitalize on that luck. I know some people that seem to get lucky all of the time. I guess you could say myself included. But people don't understand the hard work you put in order to capitalize on that luck. Everybody gets lucky. Like, let's be for real. But luck don't really mean much if you can't capitalize. And the Chiefs capitalized. That's the first thing. As Bengals fans, we got to understand that we didn't follow the blueprint to beat the Chiefs. That's the first thing. Second thing, stop talking so much trash. Stop it. And if you've been down with the podcast from the beginning, you remember I did a segment about what happens when you talk trash. You remember. I'm going to break it down for my people that, you know, that's just following your boy, that's just linking up. Appreciate you listening, by the way. Here's what happens when you talk trash, especially in the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball or any sport that's a professional sport. You can get away with talking trash in your middle school team and in your high school team and maybe even in your college team, depending on the level. Like, elite teams can't talk trash to each other. Pro teams can't talk too much trash to each other. And here's why. The line between the teams that are really, really good and the teams that are just okay is razor thin. It's really, really thin. You feel me? So players are always looking for that edge to help them get over on the competition. I mean, let's be real. Two professional teams that are in the conference championship game, they're equal. No matter what you may think, oh, this team got lucky, or this team played teams that was hurt all the time. Forget that. The Chiefs and the Bengals are on even playing field. They're on even territory. So what you're doing when you're talking all of this trash to the other team is you're giving them a competitive advantage. Oh, come on, LP. They playing in the conference championship game. That's the advantage in itself. But that's motivation right there. If you can't get up for a title game, then why are you here? All of that is true. But if I'm playing you in 2K and we about the same like level of skill, and I start talking hella trash to you, that'll motivate you just a little bit more. Like, for real? That's what happened to the Bengals and the Chiefs. And it's funny because the Chiefs did the same thing to the Bengals in the regular season. And the Bengals used that as motivation to get the W. Why the hell would you do the reverse? Like, somebody needed to find Eli Apple's phone and snatch it from him. Somebody needed to, like, get Avtab Purival. They needed to get him and, like, just push him down real quick and sit on him and take his phone so he couldn't do that nonsense that he did. Because what you're doing is you're giving a little bit more fuel to the other team. You putting that battery pack in their back and you getting them a little bit more ready to get at you. And teams got to understand that. Players have to understand that. I know a lot of people want to get out there, talk they trash, and then back it up. But there is so much strength in just letting people talk all they mess and then shutting them down and then talking your mess after you do your job. There's so much power in that. I cannot count how many times as a middle school coach, player, like my boys will come up to me like, Mr. Parker, look what they put on Facebook. Oh, they talking about they going to beat us by 30. We got lucky. Mr. Parker, man, they saying they coach better than you. Man, that's wild. What we going to say back? I'm like, we're not going to say nothing. We're going to be like, you know, this is going to be a good game. And we're going to get in practice and we're going to get ready. I'm going to remind y'all every single day what they said. Every day. So when we in the game and it's 3 minutes left, I'm going to remind you, hey, they think you tired. They think you can't play. They think you can't ball. You really going to let them come in here and let them punk you like this? Like, really? There's strength in that. And I don't think people understand enough. Like, move in silence, man. Do your talking on the field. And when you win, let it fly. Let them know, like, hey, remember all that mess you was talking? Look at you now. That's why I wasn't salty when I saw the Chiefs players smoking cigars in the locker room and talking about Burrow ahead my ass and calling our mayor jabroni and all that. I wasn't salty at all. As a competitor, you got to understand the game. When you win, you get to talk mess. You do, because you won. If you lose, give them a pound, give them a high five, let them know, hey, y'all beat us. But also let them know, we're going to be back. And I feel like the Bengals, they really did that. You know, the fans sitting up here, I see it as crying. I ain't going to hold y'all up. They crying about, oh, look at all of the holding calls missed and this, that, and the third. Man, refs going ref. Like, I used to tell the kids on my team this all the time. Refs going to do what they do. They're not perfect. They are going to blow calls. As a coach, it's my job to get on their back. And that's what Zach Taylor did. You saw his expressions, man. And I'm not sitting up here saying it was a fair game. Man, some of that stuff that was happening was wild. Like, 2 third downs. And I know they didn't capitalize off of that. The Chiefs didn't. But that kind of fuels the whole NFL rigged fire. You feel me? Missing, like, egregious blocking the back calls. That's crazy. However, refs mess up. They just do. There's really nothing you can do about it. It's like life. It's like life, man. Sometimes stuff just don't go your way. And it don't seem fair. It don't seem right. However, you got to keep going. You can't let that stop you. Yeah, the refs messed up. It was horrible to the point where we all looking like, dude, were y'all wearing Chiefs t-shirts under y'all like referee jerseys? But if I'm being real, we've been the beneficiaries of stuff like that as well. You just got to keep playing. I feel like the Bengals just kept playing. Joseph Osai, I know all the Bengals listen to my podcast, man. I tell myself this in my head, even though I know it's probably not true, but I just kind of tell myself that, like, the Bengals listen to my podcast and be like, man, he be spitting facts. So just let me live my dream, all right? Chill out. Like, don't laugh at me. Like, I saw people just getting on Joseph Osai for making a bonehead play. And he would tell you, like, man, I made a bonehead play. I got caught up in the moment, and I wasn't really watching where Mahomes was at, and I made a bad play. Come on, man. Y'all mess up at y'all jobs? We don't mess up at our jobs ever, right? We do everything absolutely, positively perfect, so we get to get on Osai's back, right? We get to really do that? Nah, man. Young guy made a mistake trying to make a play. Any coach will tell you, making a mistake trying to make a play, you can live with that. This particular mess up was really messed up, and I'll give you that. And he's not trying to make excuses for it. He stood up and was like, hey, I really messed up. But you cannot blame him for that L. You really can't. I don't think Joe Burrow would. I think Joe Burrow is sitting there like, man, I shouldn't have put you in that position. I should have got us down the field and scored. I think Ja'Marr Chase is like, man, I shouldn't have put you in that position. I could have made an extra play or two to get us out of that. Trey Hendrickson's probably like, if I would have put more pressure on the QB and got away from that hole, you wouldn't have had to do what you did. Everybody's responsible for the W's, man. Everybody's responsible for the L's. That's how it goes. He made a mistake. He owned up to it. He balled out. That this is probably one of his best games too. And it's really messed up that people are going to remember his last play instead of the constant pressure he put on Mahomes throughout the game. And that's sports, man. That's life, man. That's kind of how it go. We remember the mistakes. We tend to gloss over the victories. That's how it go. But if you're a Bengals fan, don't let people tell you stuff like, man, y'all really needed that because who knows when y'all gonna get back there again. You know, this could be the last time. Meanwhile, they like, yeah, you know, the Chiefs are definitely gonna be there. The Bills are definitely gonna be there. How come it can't be the Bengals are definitely gonna be there? I mean, that's two conference championship games in a row. You feel me? So I'm not saying pencil us in, but definitely understand that the Bengals are going to have a say in what goes on in the AFC for the foreseeable future. So I was salty about the result. Probably, usually I'm salty after a game for like 10 minutes. This one's probably like 20, 25. We were sitting there salty. Then after that, you know, it's kind of like, what can you do? They did their best. They took the L. We'll be back. It's messed up. I had to listen to my neighbor on the other side. You know, I kind of caught up to him the other day. He's like, hey, man, LP, go red. I'm like, wow, go Chiefs. That's what we doing. Hey, we got the W. And, you know, he's always humble about it. He's like, you know, and he told me, he was like, I thought the game was over when Burrow got the ball the second time. He was like, I was already trying to think about how to avoid seeing you the next day. I'm like, that's funny because we really thought the same thing. And he was like, he was proud of the way the Chiefs played because there were times during the game where he thought the game was over for the Chiefs. He was like, especially after that Mahomes boo-boo where he uncharacteristically actually just let the ball go and it slipped out of his hand. He was like, at that point, he thought all the momentum was lost. And I had to give it to him. He made a really good point. The way the Chiefs stood up and the way Mahomes gutted out and won that game, you got to give it to him, man. Like, there's no hate here. You'll never hear hatred here. I mean, I don't really do that. I do feel like the Bills. I do feel like the Chiefs got lucky. I do. However, I also feel like they got lucky because they made some key plays during the game that kept the game really, really close, and they just capitalized. So we going into free agency and all that. We'll see who comes back. I have more than a lot of faith that the Bengals will make the right moves, keep what they need to keep, not overpay people, because, you know, you want to keep everybody, but this is the NFL, man. You can't keep everybody. You just can't. The way the salary cap is set up, my wife is like, you know, how can you just can't keep everybody? I'm like, it don't work that way. Not in foosball. It just don't work that way. You can't keep everybody that you want to keep, because in order to do that, you got to short them. You got to pay them less than market value, and that's not fair to them. If you really care about the players like you say you do, you'll either pay them like they weigh, or you'll let them go so they can get what they deserve. And if they decide, like, you know, I like it here so much, I'll give you the hometown discount, then that's on them. But let these players make their money, man. And if it's somewhere else, just understand that what y'all did here, we really appreciate, because y'all helped us build something special. And in the long run, if we see you on another team, nothing but respect. We wish you nothing but the best, unless you play the Bengals, in which case we hope you have a decent game, but it's not enough to win the game. So if Jesse Bates happens to get, you know, like 5 pass breakups against the Bengals or something like that, excellent. As long as we win. Just saying. All right. I've been thinking about this for a while, and I don't know a way to talk about this other than to be anti, because that's just how I feel. And the way I grew up and, you know, circumstances and, you know, the people that raised me and all that, they really didn't raise me to say how I feel and say it in a way where people feel comfortable. Even as a teacher, I tell my kids, like, I'm going to be honest with you. It might not be what you want to hear, but it would be unfair for me as a teacher to sugarcoat what I got to say to you in a way where you go like, oh, well, my grade is okay. If it's not okay, I got to tell you that. And then I can tell you ways you can make your grade okay. Like, that's my job. But I can't be like, hey, you're F, you know, you're trying your best. Not if you got an F, champ. You can do better. And I got to tell you that. I can't sugarcoat that. So the fact that we had another black man die at the hands of police is, I'm past saying it's absolutely insane. It's sadly just run of the mill, man. I mean, it just is, especially in a city like Cincinnati, where we've seen stuff like this happen repeatedly at the hands of black and white police officers. You got to understand that the way that we have to move, like, as black people, especially as a black man, I won't even say especially as a black man, because it happens to black women too. It happens to people of color. So the way we have to move and the way we have to just live our lives under the thumb of a society that really deems us as less than. And if you don't believe me, just kind of look at, like, the fallout after the beating of Tyre Nichols. Like, you can already see social media posts going around saying, I'm not even gonna repeat the rumors because they're not true, but you can see untrue stuff going around, and you can see that narrative slowly starting to shift where it goes away from what happened and it's gonna start going to how Tyre Nichols was and if he had a record and blah, blah, blah. It's one of those things that's really messed up, because you can see the cycle where this tragedy happens and then there's outrage, and then the media slowly starts to shift it to where it looks like they did what they had to do. And that's ridiculous. And you'll also see people shift it around, like, well, they were black, so can you really call it racism? And I'm way past the point where I'm about to explain to people, especially people that are not like our color, like, especially, like, I'm not about to keep explaining to white people the racist history of America. Like, I'm not. Google is an excellent resource, man. Real talk. So I'm not about to say, hey, I never understood that. I never got that. Like, as when does a victim have to explain why they're victims? Like, I can't imagine being in a classroom and I witness somebody being bullied, and then I walk up to that person and go like, well, why don't you explain to him why you think you're getting bullied? That's not on that person to do. It's on the person that's being the bully to rectify their feelings and what they do and why they do it. Like, that's on them. They need to make reformative changes. And that's what needs to happen in America. But it's consistently a thing where it's like, well, let's talk to black people so we can get an understanding of what's happening. What? Really? That, it just never made sense to me. And like, it's, and going into Black History Month is one of those things where now it's going to be this whole, let me go ahead and help you boost your podcast. I want to go ahead and uplift black pods, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I've already been telling people, man, like, if it's not something that you do all year long, please miss me with that. And like I said, this might sound a little anti, but it's just how I feel. Like, it's the same thing with Dr. King's birthday, where you start seeing the quotes just all out of context. And some people, you know, they really want to, you know, they want to do their best, you know, to uplift us as black people and stuff like that. But we need it to be an all year thing. You feel me? We don't need it to be where you spend a month boosting up a black podcast every single day. And then come March, it's like, huh? I hate that about Black History Month. Like, I hate when schools do that. Like, when you drop a black fact every day. That's why I mess with One Mic podcast. If you haven't heard it, definitely check it out. A podcast that drops Black History 365. It is really cool. The guy that runs it is awesome. Definitely check that out. Those one black fact a day for the month of February, then March 1st, we act like, dang, it was Black History Month? Ugh. That's where I'm at with this whole thing with the police. Like, people need to understand that even though the police officers were black, or are black, the structure around them is what we're discussing. Like, we know that they're black, and we know what they did to a black person. It's absolutely ridiculous. It makes it even more ridiculous because they were the same color. It's absolutely awesome. And it's what we deal with in our communities every single day, which makes it hurt even more, you know, because there's a lot of black-on-black crime, and we're desperately trying to stop it. And I don't think that's heard enough in the media, because every time something bad happens, it's like, what about Chicago and blah, blah, blah. And I don't think people understand that these are conversations us as black people are having every single day in barbershops and churches and schools. We're having the discussions. We're just not getting the assistance. It's not like we're ignoring something like that. But I just feel like people don't talk about the structure of policing and how it's basically been a movement to lock up people of color and the mentally ill and the homeless. And it seems like that's really what it's about, even more so than, you know, keeping us safe. And I come at this from like a different perspective because, you know, my cousin's a police officer here in Cincinnati, and he does an awesome job, and he has co-workers that do awesome jobs, and they don't tolerate that stuff. But we can't keep saying that whole one bad apple spoils a bunch thing, because in some professions, you got to get rid of those bad apples, or else they transform what your workplace looks like. As a teacher, there can't be too many bad apples as teachers, because like, we're trying to mold young minds. So imagine like a kindergartner who ends up in his or her entire K-12 career ends up with three bad teachers. That's absolutely awful, because those three bad teachers are going to do more damage to that person than the 27, 28 good teachers did. Real talk. So you got to take that and look at it in terms of policing. there can be a lot of good apples. But if a black person is consistently running into the same three or four bad apples and they're allowed to continue being bad apples and nothing happens, that's a problem. It really is. And it's only talked about when something awful happens. And then slowly but surely, we all forget what happened until it happens again. And the fact that it keeps happening again, and we're having the same conversation that we had in 2020, which is the same conversation we had in 2017, which is the same conversation we had in 2012, which is the same conversation we had in 2001, which is the same conversation we had in 1992, which is the same conversation we had in the 70s and the 60s. It's ridiculous. It really is. At some point, people have to understand that it's a problem. And we can't keep putting it on the bad apple conspiracy, because how are those bad apples still allowed to be around? So boost us up 365. Like, let our stories and our struggles and triumphs be known every single day. That's what I would encourage going into Black History Month. And I feel like I say this every year. Just make it Black History, all right? So if you want to find podcasts to pump up, if you want to, like, discuss Black culture, do it all the time. That's all we say. Because the more we're seen, the more people can understand what we go through on a regular basis. So if that came off kind of anti and mean and upset, I mean, I didn't mean it to be, but that's how I feel. So I can't really apologize for it. Not for real. On that note, if you're looking for a solid movie to watch that's kind of like going against the grain that you want to, like, see for Black History Month, and you want to go away from watching Roots for the 15,000th time or something like that, even though, like, Roots is that movie, I'll just start recommending movies all year. Movies, books, music, stuff like that. And I'll start with a movie called Dancing in September. All right? That's the name of the movie. It's a song. So if you look it up on YouTube, it's also a song. The song is in the movie. I believe it's Earth, Wind, and Fire. So I'm talking about the movie. All right? It's a really good movie. It's based on the same arc as Hollywood Shuffle way back in the 80s, if you've ever seen that, or the Robert Townsend legendary flick. This movie is centered around a black female writer. Nicole Ari Parker plays a role. And she's writing in Hollywood, and she's having issues writing on certain shows because they expect her to make the black characters pretty much stereotypical characters. So she ends up pitching her own show, and the show gets picked up. And from there, it gets really good because you get to see what black TV looks like in the eyes of black executives, black actors, black actresses, and studio companies. Low key, if you look closely, they're really talking about what happened in the 90s with certain TV shows, if you look really close. But it's really good to see a refreshing take like this, and it's done really well. So I would definitely encourage you to watch it. It came out, like, I think 2000, 2001. You're going to see a lot of actors and actresses that you know, like, well. It was just a good movie. It was really well done. Surprisingly accurate. It was accurate then, and it's accurate today. So I would encourage you to check it out. If you like it, drop a comment on the Twitter page and let me know what you thought about it. I got some more movies. I'll drop those throughout the coming weeks and months and throughout the year. They kind of go against the grain. I'm trying to pick movies that some of them are old, some of them are recent, but movies that I know people haven't really seen a lot of. All right, so that's where I'm going with that. Appreciate all the birthday wishes. Appreciate people checking out the pod for the birthday. Got some really good feedback. It's been about what is this, year 2.5 of the pod, still going strong. Appreciate everybody checking me out and listening to me, I don't know, spit what I feel like is my truth. So appreciate y'all. Keep checking it out. Keep leaving feedback, good, bad. As long as you ain't talking about my mama or just talking ridiculous, then, you know, I'll definitely take it in. I'll try to reply to all the messages. I can't believe I'm saying that. Like, I actually get enough messages to say that. That's amazing. Yay me. But definitely check me out next week. You know, I still be doing my thing. I think I'm going to watch the Pro Bowl. And I'll let you know what I think about it. Because I recommended last year to go to flag football. And they did it. Actually, I recommended it second. I think Core Extra Pod recommended it first. Shout out to them. I'm trying to still get on the jet. I keep waiting at the bus stop for the jet. But then I remember it's a bus stop. And the jet probably won't come to the bus stop. Then I feel salty. So I'm going to go wait at Lunkin Airport, see if they pick me up. They've always had a good podcast, even since the beginning. They've been good supporters of me. I like to support them. So if you get a chance, check them out. Always good content. So they had the idea first. In theory, it's a good idea. We'll see how it goes on Sunday. All right. So as always, feedback is great. And no matter what, stuff be real out here, but understand y'all, life is good. We get to run it back the next day, so be grateful for that. Until next week, y'all. Peace out. If you're not ready for the conversation to end, I'm not either. Make sure to catch me on Twitter. That's a Cincy Fan Talking. Leave off the G at the end of it, and we can keep the conversation going. Also, don't be afraid to hit that subscribe button so you can catch the next episodes. The episodes will drop every Tuesday. If there's a change in that, I'll make sure to let you know. Appreciate the support. As always, life is good.